Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host. Welsh is out today. I'm Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. And I'm joined by one of my favorite best friends in the industry, Derek Brown, at Dbro underscore FFB on the Twitter machine. And today we're going to be talking about every draft strategy. I think we're going to cover the theory of every single draft strategy. We might miss one or two, or maybe your favorite in here. If we do, please let us know in the comments. Hit us up on Twitter. Say, hey, what do you think about this draft strategy? Welsh and I will try to cover it on the next show. But I think we got a lot covered. And Dbro, you just had an article about the perfect draft strategy. I believe you are calling it the Dbro draft strategy. Is that correct? Is that the marketing that I saw?
I wish I was full enough of myself to sit here and even label it that. But no, man, it's the perfect draft article. All my stuff is live on Fantasy Pros for that. And really, for that article, I wanted to write an article where I felt like people could apply it to however you want to approach drafts. If you're doing redraft, you're doing best ball, all those kind of things. It's got 75 plus players, 20 plus players in the late rounds to target in your draft. So who I'm specifically targeting in every single round of drafts, both the middle, early, and late portions. And again, all my late round targets. So wanted to really try to put in the heavy lifting to put out an article that I felt like people could apply in multiple ways, however they wanted to approach their draft and however, you know, or wherever they were drafting from, whether it was the front, middle, or the back end, considering what draft slot that you draw.
Now, let me ask you this, because when we get into this, and please, everyone, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/ITLArmy, or just go to inthisleague.com. That'll take you there. We got all kinds of good stuff there. Group me rooms, my rankings, Welsh's rankings are going to be up there soon. He has all of this baseball stuff. If you're a baseball guy, too, so please go check it out. But, Dbro, when you're looking at, you know, every single year when we go in to draft, it's got to be about the player pool and the depth of certain positions in that season based on what you are going to draft. So in your article, have you found a perfect strategy that you are employing regardless of position? Like if you're one, if you're in the middle, if you're on the end, you know, regardless of position, or will you flip based on what position you draw in a snake draft?
I'll flip it depending on where I'm drafting and how the draft is unfolding. And that's the one thing that I think is very important, Bogman. Like, is that, like, dude, every draft is its own microcosm of value and players, and some of that can be regionality. Like, you live next to Kansas City, the Chiefs are all going to go really early.
Sure.
If you live, you know, if you're a Saints fan, maybe the Saints go, you know, have somebody drafts Alvin Kamara earlier. Like, all of those kind of things, like, also factor in. So I feel like every draft is its own different animal. It's its own different entity. and where you're drafting in that, I'm willing to pivot. Now, in a vacuum, do I find myself going a little bit wide receiver heavy? Yes. I mean, I do kind of like where I'm splitting hairs and I'm deciding, okay, at certain points of the draft, am I going to take this RB2 or am I going to push it a little bit and take a wide receiver at that point? I do find myself going a little bit wide receiver heavy versus maybe consensus, the field, versus like just the median approach to how people approach drafts. But is that always the way that I will approach a draft? Like if I'm on the turn or if I'm at a spot and a running back in the first two, like say I'm in the first three rounds of a draft or specifically round two, and a running back slips down the board, like Jahmyr Gibbs should have gone at the turn. He slips down to the middle of the second round. But, oh, I mean, I was drafting seventh or eighth, and I took Bijan in the first round. Am I going, depending on if Gibbs is there versus other wide receivers, that maybe I like Gibbs more? Am I unwilling to go running back, or take two running backs in the first three rounds, and then I'm staring at what looks like from out the gate a more running back heavy build? Am I going to shy away from that? No. I mean, really, I think what all of this boils down to is you have to be liquid in drafts. You have to be looking at this. And this is something that we kind of touched on before we turned the mics on, is drafting based off of tiers and willing to be okay shifting around in those tiers to players that you want or taking falling value and stuff. So for me, I'm not approaching any single draft with this certain mindset of I'm going to draft all these wide receivers or I'm going running back or I'm doing this. Because the problem that you get yourself into, if you are so dead set that I am drafting Kyle Pitts in this draft, I am drafting this player, and then they go two picks, one pick ahead of you, that's the type
of mindset. It can skew your whole board. Yeah.
Where it screws you over. Like that's right. The type of mindset to where you get on the clock, you didn't plan out like starring three or four players in your queue that are going around that. You are so locked into, I'm going to do this, that if anything happens to deviate from that plan because of what the draft and all the players that are around you and all your league mates, if they take and they sabotage this plan that you have locked in your head, that's how you get on the clock and you time out, or you make a suboptimal decision and you make a decision where you just click a certain player's name and right. You get two or three rounds later and you're like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Like, and come on, man. Why'd I do that?
And of course, like there's players, and you guys can hear it in the mocks every single week, where like, you know, we want this guy, but and then we're upset that he goes, but you can't, you know, it's not ruining my whole draft strategy. Like I do think that saying I have to have this player it's kind of a rookie mistake. It's a noob mistake, if you will. You know, it's something that you shouldn't be doing. There's a difference between saying I have to have this player and I have to have the last player in a tier of players, right? Mm-hmm. I have to have one of this group or I'm not going to be happy. But that also, you've heard us do it in mocks here before as well. If that happens, a lot of times we'll say, well, I know I can get someone out of my next tier, which is deep, so I'm just going to ignore this spot and go to a different position. So,
to your point, and specifically, like we all did a mock draft recently on the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel. It's live right now. And talking about being fluid and stuff, like I went zero RB with that team. Did I walk into that draft and say, I'm going to go zero RB in this draft? No, but that's how the board played out, where I was like looking at these early picks and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go wide receiver. That's the best player. That's the highest player I have ranked, or, you know, my third pick, I went another wide receiver. It's like, you don't have to walk into these drafts. You just look, you just take the value that the room is giving you, and you have to be fluid in all of that in your team building, because every draft is its own entity. It's its own microcosm of how that plays out, and its own, as far as values go, you can't just look at it and approach it from rankings or a certain locked in approach, because that's where you're going to get burned.
And this is why mocking is so important. You know, I know a lot of people go in without mocking once, but the more you mock, the more you know, the more you can adjust your strategy on the fly, and the more you can be prepared on who actually does fall late. It doesn't mean it's going to happen in your draft. Like Ebro said, every single, you know, real draft is its own picture that has been painted by its own artist. You know what I mean? They're all going to be, they're all snowflakes. They're all a little bit different and everything. Right. But, you can get a good floor of what's going to happen and a good sense of how the board is going to break in a mock. So, and you have to differ up your mocks though, too. I'll say that, because if you go, if you're mocking on ESPN and then you go play on Fantrax, the board is going to look different.
Oh,
so
man.
I will say too, a big part of mocking is mock on the site that you're going to play out on. If you
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just... tell us a little more. Let me tell you something about
In This League.
We're not going to really adjust for 14 and 16 too much. Maybe we'll have a comment in here, but we can't hit every... Yeah, I know it's called every draft strategy. It's every draft strategy for what most of you are playing.
Yeah.
Is a 12-man, either one quarterback or super flex, and we will hit both here. So let's just start with the zero running back, since you already kind of went through it. And Debro... zero RB, what would the definition be? Would it just say I'm filling in my wide receivers, my QB, and my tight end before I get a starting running back? Is that the like kind of loose baseline definition here?
Yeah, loose baseline is that you're attacking wide receivers early and you're trying to build out kind of your starting lineup.
So now, you're getting your 2 to 3 wide receiver starters, your tight end, your QB, and a flex. Before we're really touching RB.
Yeah, so. I mean, and the way that you're approaching it, there's a lot of ways to do that, considering, again, going back to how the draft room is set up, what are the ADPs of players, because you talked about it, Boggs, like, there's so many varying ADPs of certain players, like certain running backs that and we're going to talk about it, like that I'm comfortable with a zero RB approach. And who are you comfortable saying, okay, because you get to the point of you're getting all these elites, or you're trying to stack the elites in your starting lineup with wide receivers, quarterback, running back, or quarterback and tight end, and you're trying to win the flex essentially as well with your wide receivers. How you're approaching that can be done in a lot of different ways. Like, the stereotypical idea of zero RB is going the 2 to 3 wide receivers, usually 3 wide receivers, because a lot of leagues are start 3. So usually 3 wide receivers, quarterback, tight end, and then at round 6, you're looking for, okay, do I press the button or do I start the conversation for running backs? But again, there's other ways to go about that. Like, you can also build a really strong zero RB team. Like, say, like, you go 3 wide receivers to start out the gate, and you know, based off of how this draft is unfolding, that some of these elite quarterbacks, like your room, and we see this a lot in like industry league drafts. We all kind of play chicken with quarterbacks and we push them down the road unless it's super flex. And so it's kind of like, can I get an elite quarterback that usually goes in the 4th or 5th round, maybe the 6th round, in the 7th or 8th round, or a round after that? You know, how is this draft looking? And can I go with, instead of drafting a running back specifically in round 6 per se, can I draft them in round 4 and then tap quarterback and tight end rounds 5 and 6? So there's a lot of ways to approach it. I think at the heart of zero RB is going with wide receivers usually in those first 3 picks, and then kind of seeing what does the board look like, what does quarterback, what does elite tight end look like, valuing that and basing that based off of, at least valuing that versus the running back position and saying, okay, what do I do at this juncture of the draft in the 4th, 5th, and 6th rounds? How am I going to balance this to get maybe a running back I'm comfortable with being my RB1 versus the elite tight end market, the elite quarterback market? Can I push it? Do I get a running back in round 4 versus round 6? So, some of that, I think, at its heart is starting 3 wide receivers, but what you do after that to kind of build out that 3 wide receiver, elite quarterback, elite tight end, and then looking at the running backs, there's a lot of different, or a few different ways to approach it, if that all makes sense.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like you did in the mock that we did on FP, mm-hmm. right, where yep. you weren't going in thinking zero RB, but mm-hmm. you skipped it in the first round. The second round, he went with a wide receiver. I think maybe, did you take a premium tight end in that one?
I did.
I think it was Kelsey because he had slipped to the 3rd or something.
I think it was Kelsey. Yeah.
But anyway, this strategy affords you to get a premium tight end, to get a premium quarterback, you know, which is not something that you would usually do. So let me just ask you this. If you're getting a premium at one of those positions, which one do you value first? You value, like, you know, a Sam Laporta, a Travis Kelce, or would you rather have like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, someone like that?
For me, it would be tight end. If I'm valuing going elite at quarterback or tight end, I love the quarterback market this year. And again, hearkening back to that mock draft, one of the things, if I could have changed it, I would have not drafted CJ Stroud in the 4th round. I would have waited on quarterback and taken a running back or taking my elite tight end at that point. For me, I'm very much prioritizing getting one of those elite tight ends in my drafts this year. And when I'm saying elite tight end, I think we have 7 guys right now, 7 players that I think qualify as being definitively in that elite conversation, or
top first 2 tiers, right? Is 7. Yes, that's the exact number I have. Seven in my first 2 tiers.
So we put names to this. It's sure. Trey McBride, Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts. Again, because we're talking about shooting for elite upside.
Sure.
Whether we can debate for days whether people think he can hit that or not. He has the talent to get there, and George Kittle. So those are the 7 tight ends. If I'm going zero RB and I'm looking at, I am earmarking those guys as those are the players that I want. I want one of those 7 guys.
Now, I have one change of that 7 group.
Okay.
It is, I actually don't have Pitts in there. I have him at 9. So I have Ingram one spot ahead of him. But I have Brock Bowers in there because I am a massive Brock Bowers stan, and that's like
if you have Bowers that high, that would also change how you would approach building a zero RB team as well. Like,
oh yeah, I'm waiting, you know, and I'm taking Bowers
So that's the small nuances with it as well. And like, we're talking about, are you prioritizing, like, specifically getting back to the question, elite quarterback versus elite tight end when you're building a roster like that? So looking at
brand new luxury apartments, if you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Because I have Pitts and I have Kittle in that same type of conversation. Can I wait to round 6, maybe round 7, to get one of those guys to where I can go 3 wide receivers? I can go elite quarterback. Maybe I can get a running back or 2, depending on how the draft is folding out, and then still access an elite tight end, then yeah, like, I've still built my zero RB team, didn't go any running backs in the first maybe 3 to 4 rounds.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking the...
In this league.
Break it down.
And I'm still getting access to a lot of players that I really love, and I'm still accomplishing not the goal, but how the team build and that approach, but you're doing it in a lot of different ways to still get to the same end point.
So let's put some names to this now. So we've hit a couple here, but who is the lowest ranked running back that you would have as your RB1 for this specific strategy? Because people are going to hear this name and they're going to hate it. They're going to be like, ugh, how can you have that guy as your RB1? But it is coupled knowing that I have an elite tight end, I have an elite quarterback, and I have three. I'm winning the wide receiver arms race, as I call it now, because it used to be my favorite strategy was always running back heavy. I can find these stupid wide receivers on the wire. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I want the heavy carry guys. The NFL is moving more away from those heavy carry guys, obviously. Yep. So they're giving more touches to the wide receivers. So staying in pace with wide receivers, because the group is so good, it means not only is there stuff on the wire, but it means you fall behind if you don't hit this position highs. So you are ahead of that curve. You're obviously ahead of the QB and the tight end curve. So you're going to take a hit at this running back. So give me this queasy name, D-Bro, of who is the last one and which tier is it of yours that you are saying, this is my last acceptable RB1 if I'm waiting till the fifth, sixth, seventh round to take an RB?
I'm willing to go down to, there's a tier of guys that I like this year that I'm willing to draft them. And again, we're talking about pockets of it. So I've already kind of, I've gotten the wide receivers, quarterbacks, and tight end and stuff already addressed. So then I could just start firing off on running backs.
A bunch of picks. Yeah.
So a lot of the guys that I like, the conversation I think starts with Ramondre Stevenson. He's going to go in.
Where do you have him?
So I've got him at RB 17 right now.
I got him at RB 20. So we're like, that's the same range. Because my name is Mostert, who I have at RB 23.
Okay. And the other part about that is, so depending on your room, I'm willing to, so that tier of guys starts with Mondre, but the other names I'll bring up that I'm firmly in, and I drafted some of these guys in that mock draft episode on FP. Aaron Jones is in that tier. Devin Singletary, Brian Robinson Jr. are all in that tier of guys where we can project volume. You can even throw Zamir White, although he's getting some steam right now. You could throw him into that tier. But what you're searching for at that point of the draft is you're locked in at wide receiver, quarterback, and tight end. You're going volume hunting. You're looking for the guys that are going to get volume. And are they going to be players at the running back position where you're like, wow, screenshot season, send this to everybody, I crushed it.
Gonna be 20 rushes for 74 yards and a score. That's what you're looking for,
which is fun. That's RB2. Hell, some weeks that's RB1 production, that's fine. So you're volume hunting. It's like Mondre could just be the dude, could get 300 touches. He could be a workhorse bell cow level guy. Zamir White, if he stays healthy, I don't see a way that he doesn't get 300 touches this year, straight up. I don't think that he's this year's Alexander Mattison. I think people are being extremely dismissive with that. Aaron Jones, are you worried about the injuries? Sure. It's all baked into the ADP. If he stays healthy, Ty Chandler's not taking a ton of work away from him.
Well, and also there's going to be, I agree with that. Aaron Jones is way better than Ty Chandler, and I'm a Ty Chandler fan. I really am. But, Kevin O'Connell said something about how we have two number one running backs, is all nonsense. Aaron Jones is the guy when Aaron Jones is healthy. But they also you're not going to get Green Bay Packers volume out of Aaron Jones in the Vikings offense. He's not going to touch the ball as much. So he is the guy and he is a high volume play still. But, you know, the injury risk is limited because he won't have as many touches because Minnesota is such a pass first offense. Maybe a little more running this year with the rookie QB versus a burned out vet QB and who's going to win. So maybe they run a little more this year, but in general, this offense is going to pass.
Well, and the other point that I've gravitated to a lot with specifically Aaron Jones is, Bogman, look at that passing attack. It's so consolidated and we're all projecting. We don't know when we see TJ Hockenson this year. We don't even know when we see him, if he's going to even play a full snap role until maybe the back
late October, early November would be my guess. But I mean, it could be earlier. Jefferson, it could be way later.
True. And after Jefferson and Addison, who else is catching passes in that offense? Aaron Jones, I look at him as the third option in the passing attack for probably most of the season. Would it also shock me?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
If he's the second option in that passing attack and he is fighting for targets with Jordan Addison on a weekly basis, a lot of people don't look at it that way, but that's the way I view Aaron Jones. We've always talked about how good of a receiving back is. What could he do if he got 60, 65, 70% of the opportunities and he stayed healthy, we could see that this year. And I don't think a lot of people are baking all of that in. But the other guy that I want to bring up here, and I mentioned his name already, and everybody just looks at him, he's like the most boring, nasty, ugly pick of a draft, is Devin Singletary. It's like, look, I like Tyrone Tracy just as much as the next draft, Nick. I do. But
he's a weapon. Devin Singletary. Yeah, Singletary did it for Houston last year.
Singletary's going to do it again. Yes. And he did it in Buffalo with Daboll. Like, Daboll knows what he can do. He's a locked in 15 to 18 touches.
There's nobody behind him. I love Tyrone Tracy, but he's going to be all over the
place.
Like, he's a former wide receiver. They're going to shift him out. He's going to be like a third down back more than he is a straight
backup. If he can pass protect. If he can't pass protect, he's not even going to play third downs. Like,
right.
Singletary... The stink of that Giants offense is pushing him so far down the board that you can get him at, in like that RB3 territory in some drafts. And it's like, why? Why do we hate that man so much? You all wanted to put him in your starting lineups and you rushed to pick him up or draft him late last year when he was on Houston. What, just now because he's with the Giants right now and you hate the offense, you hate Daniel Jones, you got burned by him and Waller last year, you're not going to go back to the well? I'm sorry, I'm not buying into any of that recency bias. Like, the Giants offense was so horrifically terrible last year. Some of that is going to bounce back. We are going to get regression. I'm not telling you that Daniel Jones is going to be a world beater. I'm not telling you he's going to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. But can we get competent play out of him? We've already seen that in previous seasons with Daboll. We have already seen that. I don't understand why everybody hates Devin Singletary so much, but I'm going to keep drafting him.
Because he's not Saquon Barkley. I think that, and he's not flashy, but he's going to get a bunch of carries. Like you said, there's nobody else. Like, they got rid of Saquon. So that was most of their offense last year. What are they going to do? They're going to have to give a lot of that production to Singletary because he is the guy. I agree. It's a huge step down, but this is still the guy that is going to be handed the ball a lot.
What do we always go back to? What's the big moniker that we always talk about, especially in fantasy circles, especially with the running? Volume is king. But okay.
Right.
Who the hell's coming for Singletary's volume?
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody if he stays healthy. Nobody.
You're absolutely right. So I think you've already answered this, but we're not going conservative at the end of the draft. We're taking high risk players at running back on the bench I think we know a lot of the names, obviously, like, you and I are both big Jaleel McLaughlin guys this year.
Yes.
A lot of these rookies, Ray Davis is late. I know you're a big Marshawn Lloyd fan. He's late. We all like Vidal, who's going late. You mentioned Tyrone Tracy, who's a decent late shot, I think as well. Is there anyone else like super late shot that you're thinking, hey, you know, maybe even if it's last round, this is a running back that I want to take in this strategy because the upside presents itself?
You just described the perfect reason to draft Jalen Wright in every single league. Like, he's the one guy, dude. It's like, what did we see out of the Miami backfield last year? We saw over 30 freaking touchdowns go to those two running backs. He is one injury away, and we're talking about outs, and that's what you're playing on zero RB teams. You're playing the injury factor and you're saying, okay, the volume matters. And then who could be the guy if they're one injury away? Jalen Wright is the guy that's one injury away. And you got two outs there. Either Devon Achane can't stay healthy or Raheem Mostert can't stay healthy.
Well, he fits Achane's spot way more. But you're not.
He's also the biggest guy of the three. Yeah, highest BMI. Yeah. He is the biggest guy. If you were to say in your mind's eye, Scott, that if one of these guys, you were just to take last year out of it, and we looked at this depth chart and
who's
going to handle the goal line role? Who's going to handle the red zone role?
And we know Tua is not ever getting tush-push or anything.
No, exactly.
You know, because he's made of glass. So running backs are getting, that's why Mostert had a million touchdowns last year.
Yep.
So
if you were to just say it in a vacuum and you took last year's production all out of the equation, you put all three of these guys on paper and you said, who would you project, knowing nothing else besides their size and skill set, who would you project as being the red zone or goal line back amongst those three? It would be Jalen Wright.
Okay. Before we go to the next strategy, I want to do Jalen Wright chicken. I want to know where you have him ranked among your running backs, because I know, and Fitz will tell you this, on the dynasty side, I am absurdly high on Jalen Wright. So I might have him pretty high. So what is your rank on Jalen Wright, just so we know?
I have him right now at RB 46. He's right behind Chase Brown. He's in that entire conundrum of Zach Charbonnet, Blake Corum, Chase Brown. I have him right ahead of Antonio Gibson, and I have him ahead of Kendre Miller.
Okay, I have him. I do have him ahead of Miller and Gibson, I am behind Gibson. But I have him at 50, so I'm just behind.
We're in the same Lloyd,
same tier for sure.
Yeah.
So I'll give you one for a deep league that I want to take a shot at, because I play in a bunch of 16s. And look, this isn't the best shot. I'm already saying it. But if the Cowboys backfield stays the way it is, and it's not Rico and it's not Zeke, it's Deuce Vaughn, baby. Like, I watched this guy at Kansas State. I am Donnell Pumphrey, and a lot of the smaller running backs have steered me away from smaller running backs like Deuce Vaughn. But this is a dude that did high volume stuff at Kansas State and survived as a small guy. NFL is different, and they've been really careful with him. And he's much more of a kick returner, special teamer, a guy like that. But this dude can do it all. He's just undersized. So that's like a little dart throw at the very end if you're going zero RB. Let's go to hero RB, which is Pizapia's favorite draft strategy ever, I believe. And it seems to have replaced a running back heavy type of draft, D-Bro. So hero RB is when you take one high-end running back and then you ignore that spot. You pretty much fill in the other wide receiver spots and tight end, most likely, or quarterback, one of them, before you take another running back. I think we don't have to talk about a lot of the secondary running backs, because we just kind of did in the zero RB strategy. You're taking shots late to help with this second spot, perhaps a flex spot as well. But how does it differ from zero RB? And who, obviously, we all want the number one pick to take McCaffrey. That's the ultimate hero RB, position, is take McCaffrey and then ignore the spot for a while. Who are the other guys that you would consider good enough to be the hero RB of your team so you can ignore the position?
Yeah, I mean, in that type of draft strategy, you're taking one guy and saying, okay, he's locked into the RB spot, RB1 spot every single week, and then I'm mixing and matching the RB2 spots, and hopefully somebody emerges, and you can punt that. I mean, hero RB, you can build them a lot of different ways. Like, how far are you willing to punt the RB2 spot down the road? And there's a lot of different answers to that, depending on how your draft is unfolding. You know, so for me,
for me, it's nine. I have nine running backs that I think are good enough for this. It's not something I want to do. Hero RB, I have done, kind of like the way you did zero RB in your last build. I have done this before because I've had an early pick and taken a running back early and then went, I got to stay with these wide receivers. The wide receivers are better than the running back in the next three rounds. Maybe I, add in a Trey McBride or Kelsey or somebody in there as well. But most of the time, it's because the wide receivers are better and the running backs go fast. So to me, I got nine guys that are high volume guys. It's my first tier and my second tier. And that might maybe too deep. Who do you consider to be the hero RBs?
So for me, obviously, like you said, CMC is not in the conversation, because if you get the first pick, you just take him and you're already in the build. That's fine.
Right.
But you need a top two pick to possibly get him.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. no matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And so, taking him out of this conversation, in the first round, it's Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall. I'll also throw Jahmyr Gibbs into this conversation. Like, I'm totally fine taking him in the turn. I think
what about JT?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
So Saquon and JT are very interesting conversations. I think you can make hero RB builds with them, and I'm not opposed to that. I do find myself, if I'm going hero RB, that they're the two names that I'm not in love with. I like them. Like, I have Saquon and JT as my RB5 and RB6. I think where they go in drafts, I'm more likely to just kind of punt it just a little bit further down the road if I'm going to go hero RB. And again, if you go hero RB, it does not mean that you are held to drafting an RB in round one and then waiting. You can do that, but that's not how you have to build every hero RB team. And if you look at guys that you can get later in the draft, can you build a hero RB squad with the idea of, I went 2 wide receivers early and then I took an RB, or 3 wide receivers early and an RB fell that the league just hates, you know? So there's a lot of ways to approach the hero RB without the stereotypical, I'm drafting one in the first round and then I'm punting the position for a bunch of rounds. And Barkley and JT are two guys that, do they fit the build? Can they be that? Yes. But where they go in drafts, I'm more likely to kind of punt it a little bit further down the road, and I don't draft them where they go because, and I know it's a lot of ifs, okay? So I get that people are kind of squeamish about drafting this player, but we've already seen this play out, Bogman. Like, if Kyren Williams stays fully healthy, we can get RB1, top 5 production from him, and we can't defend.
Like 15 touchdowns in 12 games. I mean, yeah, I know, like, Blake Corum is there.
I know Blake Corum is there, but what if Blake Corum only gets all the work whenever they're winning late in games and he's the guy salting the clock? And it's like,
a closer.
Yeah, what if he does that role? And so Kyren stays in a role where he's getting 16 to 18 touches, and part of that split between the passing game, and Corum only comes in just as the late hammer. Kyren's still a locked in RB1. Maybe he's not a top 3 back, but he's still probably a top 8 to 10 back. So he still fits the build. The other two guys, or three guys I'll mention here, and some of them carry a little bit more volatility than others, but I think they still fit the build if they stay healthy and if they do what we think they are going to do this year. And the other three pack of running backs that specifically fit this for me is Joe Mixon. I think he's getting all the freaking work he can handle in Houston.
Yes.
Derrick Henry, I'm riding with the big dog, man. We played this damn game for 3 so years about he's old and he can't handle it. I'm not playing that game. Like, if he stays healthy.
I mean, could there be a better offense built for Derrick Henry?
Nope.
What the Titans have done, and they did it all with crap quarterbacks for the last couple of years. This is the best quarterback that Derrick Henry has ever played with. It's a system built specifically for a running back like him.
I agree. And you're telling me Gus Edwards spiked 13 touchdowns last year in that offense? What the hell do we think Derrick Henry
can do? That should be 25 for Derrick Henry.
Dude, you know? I mean, seriously, like, the floor for him is double digits. The ceiling is he spikes 15 plus touchdowns. So Derrick Henry definitively hits that build.
How high do you have Mixon, by the way?
I have Mixon at RB8.
Wow. Okay. Yep. I don't have him that high.
I'm all in on him. Like, I look at, why do we not want the every down workhorse back in an offense that we all kind of project as being a top five scoring offense this year? And I'm just like, it doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. Like, to me, it's just that simple.
Yeah, that's simple. Fine. The things that they said about Dameon Pierce,
They're just playing.
I like coach speak. I understand coach speak.
I love Dameon Pierce. Man. You ain't gonna talk me into Dameon Pierce. Like,
I'm not trying to talk you into Dameon Pierce.
No, I know.
But I am saying that they like Dameon. The signals that they're saying to us is Dameon Pierce is not 100% like, you know, in the doghouse right now. He's a big part of their plans. So I think he's gonna have a decent sized role, which is why I can't get mixing up that high. Maybe I do need to relook because I do have him a tier down. I have him at 16. I have guys like Walker, Cook, Achan, even Jacobs, Rashad White, Pacheco. I have those guys ahead of him. But I would not put those guys in a hero RB situation. Yeah. It has to be super heavy workload. And Mixon is a heavy workload type of guy, but I've got Etienne. I've got Kyren. I think Etienne is the only guy that we haven't talked about. Dude that had 58 catches last year. He had 267 carries. So another over 300 touch guy. They've talked about ratcheting him back, but they've talked about ratcheting him back for three seasons and they can't do it. It's kind of like CMC. You know, every single coach that's ever coached CMC has said, we got to get him off the field more, give him a couple more breaks. But when push comes to shove, we're on the field, the things are happening. I'm not putting in Eli Mitchell for Christian McCaffrey. I can't do it. Physically, I have to have my best players on the field. I feel like the same thing is happening with Etienne, and the same thing has happened for Mixon. So
conversation for Etienne. I love that call. Like, if you want to punt the position a little further down the road, like, you can make that conversation and that call for Etienne, and I think you can make it for Isaiah Pacheco. So, like, because Noah McKinnon, he's getting 75% of those opportunities in the snaps on a weekly basis. The other guy that I'll throw into this mix, and he defies the volume narrative, but when we talk about a hero RB and being a top 10 producer, a top 5 producer last year, Bogman, you can make the conversation, again, if he hits his ceiling and if he does the things that we think he's going to do, there is a lot of volatility with the projection and the outlook for Devon Achan. But if he's a second-year RB, we see year after year those guys get an increase in the workload. If he does what we think he can do and he takes over more of this backfield, he was the RB5 in fantasy points per game last year. So, like, what we're replacing with the volume, we're replacing with otherworldly efficiency. Does some of that come back to earth? Yes, possibly, but still, even if some of it comes back to the earth, like, he's still probably a top 5 guy in all the efficiency metrics this season, much less top 10. If the volume gets increased this year with him being a second year in the system on multiple ways, whether it's passing downs or red zone or goal line or a small bump in the volume where it's not like, I will never think that Devon Achane is going to be a 20 touch guy per week. We don't want that, but can he be 15? Can it be 17 with like a handful of those 4 to 5 touches in the passing game?
Achan needs 12. He's going to break one of them if he gets 12.
It's true. But like, to that point, would you?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, me, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Do you think in that realm because of not so much the volume narrative, but the production that we can get out of him, where he would be if he does hit the ceiling. Like, he's a top 10 back. Would you be comfortable taking him in a hero RB build? Because I think a lot of people would not be. And I'm okay with it because at the end of the day, I want fantasy points, dude.
Yeah, look, here's the couple reasons why I'm not. Because he had heavy workload at A&M and survived. So, you know, a guy, I just was talking about Deuce Vaughn, who's undersized, but took a lot of carries and made it. Achane didn't make it through his first season without getting hurt, right? So it's that. They added Jalen Wright. And he is a guy, because of his size, that is going to be or should be permanently limited in his touches per game in his career, which may extend his career, right? Just overall being a running back. But if he gets into that heavy workload stuff, the career is going to be short, and he's going to be putting himself more in line for an injury, which he has already had in his rookie season. So for a hero RB strategy, I don't want Achane. But in any other instance, in any other type of build, I love taking Achane. And this is a Texas Longhorns fan telling you he wants to take the Aggie. So, I mean, that's how you know I'm not biased when it comes to Achane. Let's go to RB.
You can make the conversation, too, about Rashad White. I'm just not in on Rashad White.
I
get the volume conversation, and you can make it for a hero RB build. Because I know, and I'm only bringing him up, Bogman, before we move to the next
272 carries last year.
I know he'll get, people will say, y'all didn't even mention Rashad White. Does he not fit the volume narrative? And he does. I have concerns about, does he get that same type of level of volume with no Dave Canellis there this year?
They drafted
you
want to
talk about
Irving,
the coach speak? You want to talk about the coach speak? Exactly. That's one of the rare instances where it's like, I don't know if he gets that same workload.
Yeah. And you're right. He's definitely a guy that we should have talked about, and we didn't, because of his insane workload. I don't think that workload is good for him. I don't think it's good for ETN either. But I do think ETN is more guaranteed for it than Rashad White is. So, but let's move to RB heavy. I guess the biggest question is anybody doing this outside of you, or I guess you did zero RB? Because I said before, I was the OG. Let's just take running backs and we'll figure out the wide receivers later. Right. And I feel like a lot of the times in trade leagues too, in the past, you could take a running back. And even if you had a good third running back, eventually you're going to be able to trade for a wide receiver that's better than him because of the running back injuries. So I think it was more practical in the past to go RB heavy because more players had guaranteed volume. And the wide receiver depth was really good, as it still is now. The problem with RB heavy now is that you're falling behind in the wide receiver arms race, in my opinion. That is the biggest issue. It also, if you're doing RB heavy, it affords you no wiggle room for other positions, because to me, RB heavy is you take three straight running backs. You probably hit it hard on your bench too, but I think to play in the definition of this type of strategy, it has to be three straight RBs, your two starters and your flex. Those are the first three players that you draft. But if you do that, in my opinion, you have to now take, if you're starting two wide receivers, the next two picks have to be wide receivers.
Have to.
If it's three, it has to be three. And you probably want another one just in case one of those guys doesn't live up to the hype, because you're probably playing upside. So I am the OG original RB heavy, whatever, blah, blah, and regular heavy just guy here. But I don't think this strategy plays well. You have to really thread the needle to do it right. So it's not something that I'm really into anymore.
No, and I think that the way that we need to approach RB heavy and we need to adjust is, and I agree with you. I think the standard definition of this would be somebody going with three running backs, probably in their first three picks, but I'm firmly with you. I think that if you do that, I think, okay, so let's kind of flesh this out here, Bogman. If you do that in a league where you have to start three wide receivers, you probably just gave your team the coffin nail, because unless you just I mean,
you have to nail every receiver.
You have to crush wide receiver, and you have to hit on who's going to be this year's massive sleeper. Who is going to be the wide receiver that just outplays expectations in that spot? If you're having to fill three starting wide receiver spots, the spots where I can wrap my head around it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.